Well, and if you're a good cradle Catholic, like I am, so the old joke among cradle Catholics is when life is like really hard and a bunch of challenges, we always say, well, God never gives us more than what we can handle. And it's like you look up and you say, God, I think you think more fondly of me than I do, because I think I'm beyond my end, right?
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Framework Podcast. I'm your host, Ana Trujillo-Limon, and this month on Framework, we're talking about executive business coaching. And who better to talk about that subject than the Greg Opitz himself? Greg is one of our amazing executive business coaches here at Carson Coaching. And Greg, I'm so happy you're joining me here on Framework. Thanks for making time.
Oh, and I love doing stuff with you because you're so wonderful. And by the way, when most of us write anything, she's actually the great writer who takes our silly thoughts and puts it on paper and puts some order into it. So she makes us look really good all the time. So I should be the one thanking you. Yeah.
Great. Thank you for that. But I know you guys like to think, oh, well, you know, we're just kind of, you know, you guys actually think very in great articles. Like, I don't have to change too much. I just capture and put it down. But, you know, speaking of which, you and I, we always have these really great conversations that you call brain dumps, right? We get together, you tell me a bunch of really great and helpful things for advisors, and I then turn those into articles and resources for Carson Coaching. So recently, you know, you pinged me on Teams like, hey, let's do a brain dump about EQ or emotional intelligence, right? So let's, you know, what better way to do that and start that process than here on Framework? That's a really great topic for a lot of our listeners, a lot of advisors and firm owners. So let's talk about EQ. You know, what is your definition of EQ and why is it top of mind lately for you?
Well, yeah, so you can go out and look at the definitions, right, where it talks about self-awareness and empathy. And I think they go through the five qualities of people that really have good, you know, emotional intelligence with empathy, self-awareness, listening, those kind of things, right? You asked for my definition. So in a goofy way, I think about emotional intelligence as simply the ability to say the right thing at the right time in the right way. Mm-hmm. Right. And that may be kind of a simple Greg Opitz way of thinking about it. But I've witnessed so many really, really, really successful humans and successful advisors who just always seem to know what to say all the time. Right. So at some level, that's emotional intelligence. I even remember back years ago when Ron used to do the monthly conference calls as part of the coaching program. So every month, Ron would have a call for an hour and there'd be a little presentation and a lot of Q&A. And I remember one of the sessions was like, just how do you know what to do and how to have conversations and talk to people like at a party or at the country club? And just like, how do you know when to like ask for the business or when to like ask about. So it was crazy how advisors were like, I need help talking to people. Yeah. So Ron would try to explain, which was in essence, emotional intelligence, right? And if you think about this industry right now as artificial intelligence and other technologies and things start to become more and more prominent, the single biggest trait of successful advisors is going to be EQ, right? Because those are the things that only humans can do. So the advisors who become really self-aware and really intentional and really in tune with their own EQ, they're going to be the most successful advisors going forward in this industry. So there's my quick definition. I would say the right thing at the right time in the right way. And I think it's going to be the single biggest quality of successful advisors going forward.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And you know, Danny Fava, who's our new chief of strategy here at Carson Group, she talks about that a lot, like how, you know, AI, as prominent as it's becoming, will never replace kind of the advisors, that advisor role, for this reason that you're talking about right now. So Greg, talk to me a little bit about why, you know, EQ, why you're thinking about it these days.
Well, I think about it because of this, right? It's the human pieces of this that I think are so important. And I have so many funny stories to tell about this. I don't even know where to begin and how to connect emotional intelligence. But this is like a, this is a, This is in essence emotional intelligence in a very, very simplest form. I had a client, I had one of my members the other day say, "Greg, we just picked up a new client." He goes, "You won't believe this story." And I'm like, "Try me," right? So he said, "We got this, we picked up this wonderful new client." Client came in and literally said, the first, they went to, it was Morgan Stanley, I think. And the first thing the Morgan Stanley person said was, "So how much money are we talking about here?" That was their first question before they even started talking. Then they went to another person who they couldn't even start talking much. And the guy said, "Well, we'd have to sell all the insurance, get you out of all the stocks, all the advisory, everything, and basically everything into an indexed annuity." I was like, "What?" And then they said, "What we did," they came in, they sat down, and we just said, "Tell us about yourself. Tell us about your interests, your passions, your dreams, what you want to accomplish." And we listened for like the next 30 to 45 minutes. We just listened, right? But a listening session. And they basically signed the paperwork right there. And it was like, well, at some level, that's emotional intelligence. In that, in a very simple, very raw, basic way, because it was showing interest in another person. It was having empathy for another person. It was wanting to know about another person, right? So that emphatic component of this is so important. And that's why so much of emotional intelligence is just kind of sitting down and shutting up and listening sometimes, right? So why is this important? Because I think in this world today, there's a simple, raw example of emotional intelligence at its very basic form, mm-hmm. and how it helped somebody generate a new client.
Yeah. And that speaks to that feeling when we feel valued and we feel heard as consumers, as clients, you know, you kind of form a bond and have some sort of affinity to that person. Like even as a regular consumer and client myself, people who make me feel like, "Hey, you're really listening to me. I like you," you know, like that. It just makes you feel just a special type of way about that person. So you said in our exchange that EQ makes you not only a better person, but also a better advisor. Let's talk about both of those and how being a better person kind of ties into being a better advisor.
Well, yeah, I just think about the concept of just, well, I tell some of my members all the time when I introduce them and talk about them, I just say, look, first of all, they're just a really good human, mm-hmm. right? They're just a really good person. And they also happen to be a good business person who happens to own a wealth management practice. Right. So I think so many of the folks that I know and work with, they're good humans and they're in this business for the right reason. They want to help people. And then they have a lot of emotional intelligence. So I just think about, you know, at some level, you know, we're a collection of our life experiences. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're a sum of our life experiences. And I think part of that is then, how do we process those life experiences and have those life experiences be, well, EQ, right? More self-reflective, more self-aware, more able to then empathize, right? So I think about some of these life experiences. I remember, I won't mention his name, but I remember pretty successful advisor, nice business, now has a daughter taking over and a son-in-law taking over. I remember when his father died, he said, "Greg, I'm the namesake. I'm the oldest one now. Like my family name is now me." And he took on a certain responsibility. And I think he thought about it in terms of, I need to be a better husband, a better father. I need to mentor my daughter, my son-in-law. Right. So I think when he thought about that in terms of father, husband, human, advisor, business owner, right? So there was a life experience that I know impacted all of him, right? And I think of so many experiences like that. I've had several advisors going through divorces that were just horribly emotional, and they came out of it better humans because they had such empathy for people going through divorces and that transition. They wanted to do divorce planning, and they actually buddied up with divorce attorneys who then the divorce attorneys loved them because A, they did great planning and provided huge value on the planning side for people going through divorce. And they had such an ability to connect with the person going through that horrible life event, right? Mm-hmm. That they did, they were great at it. So there is another example of a life event making somebody a better human, more appreciative of somebody going through that, more understanding, which then allowed them to be a better human, right? And a better advisor that also helped them grow the business. So I think all of those things are so connected. Sometimes if you just start with, I just want to have better emotional intelligence so that I can connect better with other humans. It's amazing the impact it has on your life, right? Your spouse, your kids, your friends, your clients, your prospects, your teammates. Yeah.
Yes, I heard two things that I really love there. One, higher EQ comes with life experiences, right? And two, these maybe could be construed as negative life experiences ultimately end up giving you more empathy and end up, and I'm a big fan of the saying, like, well, it's not really a saying, but like for me, the toughest times in my life are always followed by the best times in my life. So I'm always, when I'm going through dark times, I always remind myself, hey, remember, there's something really good coming up next. So just get through this and you'll get there. But in addition to getting to the good things, right, you get some really good EQ. But my next question is,
What's so interesting about that is from so many different angles, I could respond to that. So from one angle, what do they say? Well, it's the fire that makes the steel strong, right? So you could go from it's that process that makes the steel strong and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's good to go through that kind of stuff. Well, and if you're a good cradle Catholic, like I am, so the old joke among cradle Catholics is, when life is like really hard and a bunch of challenges, we always say, well, God never gives us more than what we can handle. And it's like, you look up and you say, God, I think you think more fondly of me than I do, because I think I'm beyond my end, right? But I think just about how whatever metaphor you want to use, a religious one, how the fire makes the steel stronger, all those things, at the end of the day, these are, as much as these things can leave scars, they also can leave us stronger, mm-hmm. right? And I think so many things in life, you know, we have the scars. And the scars are the things that actually are some of the things that are the most beautiful things about humans. Yeah. It's the fact that we have warts and blemishes and scars. And I think it's how we respond to those things, which once again connects to this whole discussion. Because last time I checked, life is hard for everybody and everybody has challenges. How do we embrace them and how do we help other humans embrace them? It's because think about advisors. That's what they're doing all day, every day, is helping people more so on the positive side with being proactive in goals, but also reactive about their challenges and stuff as well to help address those. Passing of a loved one, loss of a job, whatever, right? So I think advisors hopefully are thinking about, you know, those scars in both a kind of a positive and a proactive way and a reactive way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was reading this Think Like a Monk by Jay Shetty recently, and there was an anecdote he talks about in the story about in the book, where a group of scientists have gotten together and they constructed this biodome, right? This self-sustaining biodome with all of this different, you know, plants and trees and all of these things. And the trees, they were growing and they would only grow to a certain point, and then some of them were actually falling. And so, you know, the scientists were like, what is going on here? And so they realized, because the biosphere didn't have wind, that the roots weren't as strong as they would be had there been wind. And so it's kind of interesting, like that notion of we need wind, we need forces kind of moving against us to, you know, anyways, it just ties into the point that was an interesting anecdote. But so we're talking about EQ coming from life experiences and all of this stuff. But for maybe people who, you know, haven't faced a lot of adversity, or even for, you know, next gen professionals who are just coming into the profession and the industry, what are some ways to kind of develop that self-awareness, that emotional intelligence that you would recommend for people, for advisors?
Part of being a great fiduciary is helping your clients understand their full financial picture, and it should be no different for your life. Do you know what your business is worth? Get your firm valuation today with our free valuation calculator. Whether you're looking to share equity with your team, buy another firm, prepare for an exit, or just simply want to see the market value of your business, visit carsongroup.com/valuation to get started.
Yeah. So, you know, so I think some of the Cialdini stuff is still really good about persuasion and those things, because there's a lot of components in there that really get to emotional intelligence. There's a lot of nice, you know, websites out there and stuff about behavioral finance, which kind of connects to this as well. I think that's good. And I'll also get to something that was very personal for me that helped me a lot. There's a lady out who was like really, really popular on the circuit, out speaking at almost every industry conference 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And that was Amy Florian, F-L-O-R-I-A-N, who did the book No Longer Awkward, right? And I remember reading that book and going, I just wrote stuff down. And you know, thinking of scars, I just had a my brother-in-law, my wife's brother, just passed away. And so we were out there for the wake and the funeral and the burial services. And I remember talking to my nieces. And one of the things I said to them is, this is going to be hard. Don't let anybody tell you it's not going to be hard, because it is. But you know why it's hard? It's hard because Jerry was a great human. He was a great dad. He was a great husband. Look at all the people here. He was respected by the community. He was loved by many. He loved you. That's why it's going to be hard. And you know what? Be thankful it's hard, because if it was easy, it would be because he didn't have that well-lived life. And then I just gave him a hug. And then I just listened, right? So one of the things in Amy's book she talks about is like grief. And she talks about like how, what you should do at a funeral, or how you should embrace people who are going through grieving. They don't want to be told it's going to be okay. They don't want to be told you experienced this. They don't want to be told those things. So tell them it's going to be hard, and then just be there for them. So that's why I said, this is hard because he was so cool. He was such a good guy. Then I just gave him a hug and hugged him as long as they wanted to be hugged until they let go of me. And then I just listened, right? So Amy's book helps you be, we talk about this all the time, about being unconscious competence, and how we should, a lot of folks out there are just unconsciously really good at this. And even those folks who are unconscious competent, books like this have you become more consciously competent. So you can be even more intentional about this. And I'll say that for me, this was maybe a place that I wasn't very competent before. But just reading that book gave me much more confidence to say, no, embrace this. Bring it that way. And then, you know, part of emotional intelligence is also the ability to control your own emotions and be in tune with your own emotions. Now, I can't say that I had great emotional intelligence on that particular piece last week, but it did help me with this whole concept in being able to, even though I may have struggled at times, it made me much more able to be there for them and to say things that I think were much more meaningful than it will get better, right? So I think there's a book that can help you tap into something that I think can make you just better with emotional intelligence and just more intentional about things, especially with people going through the grieving process. And let's face it, advisors have a lot of how many advisors, you know, advisors spend a lot of time at funerals and a lot of time with these type of things. I think it's really important for them to be really comfortable with embracing people going through the grieving process. There's a good tool, a good book for that.
Yeah, well, that's beautiful what you told your nieces, Greg. And I always think, you know, that grief and the large grief and as hard as it is the price we pay for the big love that we had. Give me the vapors. Yeah. That was beautiful what you said. But Amy, Amy Florian is excellent at that type of stuff. And I love how she talks about like even good transition, right? Even good transition, any type of transition triggers the grief and the grieving process. And I took, I saw her speak at an annual conference for the Financial Planning Association a couple of times. We had her on the circuit a couple of times. And she's just so amazing. So yes, the book is very helpful. If you could see Amy speak in public, that would be awesome too, because she just has such wonderful takeaways. And the stuff to help people with the grief and talk to them, that's very helpful for, I love that advice. That's great. So, you know, Greg, a lot of people, you know, are hiring for emotional intelligence. And we talked about NextGen a couple of months ago on the podcast and on our socials and stuff like that. So when you're an advisor and you're hiring for that type of stuff, what are some things you should look for in the talent development aspect of it? When you're looking for emotional intelligence, what are some ways to gauge it in like the brief time you have in job interviews and things like that?
Yeah. Boy, I guess it's trying to, that's tricky because, you know, it's, you're trying to evaluate a human, right? So here's why I just talk about put them in as many settings as possible. Mm-hmm. So in other words, start with a phone call. Then you might have a Zoom meeting. Then they come in the office. Then you have the team take them out to lunch so that you have a different, right? So, and then you have them come back in and you talk with them. And maybe you even do a little role play with them, or you have them come in for a half a day and you have them present a financial plan or something, right? So I think what I'm getting at is there, you put them into as many different experiences and as many different human interactions as possible so that you can try to assess the different skills they have. And then I think here's the tricky one. Here's a tricky one. In that sometimes people can be very quiet and very introverted. So then sometimes I think people get a negative impression from that. Mm-hmm. But I think this is hugely critical to know. Introverts, all things equal, introverts have higher emotional intelligence than extroverts. Introverts are also better salespeople than extroverts. Ron Carson is an introvert. Burt White is an introvert. Would you not hire Ron because he was quiet in an interview or seemed a little introverted? You'd probably hire Ron, right? Or at least if you didn't, then I'm not sure how smart that would be, not knowing the job. So what I'm getting at is there, I wanted to point out the introvert piece because I think sometimes introverts in interviews may not come across as intelligent or as fun or as engaging or something, but almost just the opposite. It's the introverts who oftentimes will be the ones who will sit back and listen. They'll be the ones who will pick up those little things, right? Mm-hmm. Who will then have more empathy and more self-reflection and then more perspective, another piece of emotional intelligence, right? Mm-hmm. So they will have oftentimes the more thoughtful and perspective responses, and they'll oftentimes be the shorter ones, right? So I guess what part of it would be put people in multiple situations and don't be alarmed by people who seem a little more introverted. If anything, I would suggest introverts, all things equal, you want to hire introverts, more introverts than extroverts, all things equal.
Well, Greg, that's great news for me. I am also an introvert. So that is, I love to hear it. Yes. And Michael Rose, he's wrote a blog post that's coming out next month where he talks about that, you know, introverts in the settings, like make sure you're kind of catering to introverts sometimes too. But he wrote a line that was, I think it was like introverts united. And so I just chatted him on Teams. I'm like, yes, let's have a club. So anyways, we probably won't meet because, you know, we're introverts. But Greg, I know you have a call to get to. You're busy guy with all of your coaching members, helping them grow and be successful advisors. So I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for joining me on today's episode.
Well, this is fun and this is a great topic. And I just can't share enough how important this is going to be in the future. And my hope is too, I see everybody in Orlando at the Excel meeting, right? Here in September. So you can see some people with emotional intelligence in action as they work the room and talk to other humans.
Yes, love it. Yes. And speaking of that, please plan to join us at Excel in Orlando. That's excelconference.com. Excel is with two L's. You can register. We'll be in Orlando September 9th through the 11th. So don't miss it. Come meet Greg, come meet myself, and we'll have a great time. And thank you all for tuning into this week's episode of the Framework Podcast. And we'll see you again next time.